Your website is the mousetrap. Your content is the cheese. Welcome to Content Matters with Barry Feldman and Andy Crestedina.
They type their email. They click submit. What happens next? They get to a thank you page, maybe. They get an autoresponse, maybe. Or maybe the marketer went a little farther and created a series of emails that they get over the next several days, several weeks even, that welcome them to the email list. So today on Content Matters, we are talking about that exact topic, the welcome email series.
Yeah, good. I think also, you know, on your list wasn't the wasn't you playing devil's advocate where what happens next is nothing, you know?
Sure. What happens next? Nothing.
Yeah, so what happens next being nothing is kind of rude. I mean, I suppose there's a percentage of companies that don't have a welcome email series or a thank you page, but it's almost like in a retail metaphor, like somebody walked across your lease line and they started looking at your merchandise and you ignored them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Let's not ignore it. So we're going deep on this topic of the welcome series email. This is Andy from Orbit Media, and my co-host is Barry Feldman from Feldman Creative, who's an expert on this topic, who just wrote about this topic for my blog or on Orbit site. So let's jump in. You're a bit more expert than me on this one, and so I'm going to be learning as well as our listeners. Where do we start?
Well, I guess you start saying, what am I going to do? We're going to talk about conversion tactics a little bit today to get people on your email list. And so why did they do that? How can we help them? What piece of bait did they bite such that they belong on our email list in the first place? And so a lot of questions need to be answered about whether you have one email list or segmented email list or, you know, email list per promotion or per product line or so forth. But, you know, the idea is that email is a tough business. We all do it. It's one mm-hmm. of the, you know, the best ways to privately connect with people. It's one of the best ways to personalize stuff. And mm-hmm. ultimately, it's one of the best ways to sell. But it's a noisy, noisy world. You know, guys like you and I, and probably most of the world, get far more email than they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so from the marketer's point of view, when they're behind the scenes looking at their data, it's usually not that encouraging. You know, the open rates and the click-through rates are, you know, surprisingly low. So with a welcome series, you are talking to somebody right away. You know, the headline I wrote for your blog is how to engage prospects immediately. They haven't forgotten you. You're not spamming them. You're not surprising them. They just said, market to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the warmest moment. You are striking while the iron's hot. And if there's a point at which they are at their peak of interest in your brand, it's the moment they filled out that form, because something they saw triggered that trust, that action and conversion. So, it's like one of the very first things that you do with the person post-conversion. They were a minute ago, they were a visitor. Now they are totally new status, different kind of person. They're a subscriber. So we're going to welcome them to it with what? Personal tone, added value. What is the series? How many emails? What frequency or interval? And what do they include?
You're not messing around today, Andy.
I want to know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like, you know, you send 7.6 over 9.4 days. It's going to, you know, the formula is going to sway based on experimentation and perhaps intuition and certainly what you're trying to accomplish. But I think you ask yourself these questions. I'm going to cheat here and use the stuff that I wrote for your blog. I think you think of it as, all right, we're going to strike when the iron's hot. The iron's hot. They just gave us their email. How can we help them? You know, mm-hmm. So let's ourselves ask these questions. What could we say that would make them feel welcome? You know, could we use their name? Could we recognize what they just did? Could we say thank you for coming to XYZ website or XYZ page or XYZ offer?
Mm-hmm.
How can we better acquaint them with our brands, products, services, or content? You know, if they were shopping for, toothpaste or, you know, shoes or something that's not a big risky decision, you'd probably, you know, think about deals and coupons and loyalty clubs and, you know, and mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. forth, as opposed to, you know, if they're visiting Orbit Media Studios, and they're going to make this, you know, big, longer decision about choosing a partner to help them create their website, or they're visit a film and creative and they're looking at a content marketing consultant. And so there, you know, the question would be, what's a good way to acquaint them with our brand without chasing them away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and they might have actually had an offer in mind, right? This person may have converted because they wanted a download. So that email is going to include the download. You know, the very first thing we're going to do is live up to the promise if we promise them something.
Yeah. So that question is, why did they opt in?
Right.
How can we be helpful? How can we engage them? How can we win their business? I don't know how many times we've talked about Brian Dean. Obviously, we both respect his tactics. And I learned from email tactic from him about welcome emails once that I've tried and I love. He simply says, write back to me. Mm. You know, tell me something. And that person's going to remember that a lot more than any other welcome email if they do it. You know, mm-hmm. Suddenly mm-hmm. you're going to have a friend.
Yeah, and here's a famous, almost unimaginable story by Chris Guillebeau, from author, world traveler, founder of the World Domination Summit, literally emailed a thank you, and this is obviously automated in a welcome series, but he did it personally. I imagine these emails were very much the same one to the next. Welcome to my newsletter. Is there anything I can help you with? To his first 10,000 subscribers. And his question was, how can I help you? He wanted, basically, he was using his email list growth as a listening tool to learn more about what his audience wanted to find out, why they subscribed. He asked everyone why they subscribed. That's an extreme example. I think I'm a high touch, high response guy. If when I can be, he blows it out of the water. I confirmed that with him recently. That is right there, you know, marketing empathetic legend.
Yeah, Chris Brogan, you know, his shtick is he loves his coffees and teas. Mm-hmm. And so his email starts off with what he's drinking. And when mm-hmm. you opt into his series, one of the first things he's going to ask you is, what are you drinking?
mm-hmm. Yep, starting a conversation.
Yeah, when I asked him that, I go, you know, is that to invite people into your life? You know, it's really, you know, it's a degree of personal, but it's not like, you know, I'm revealing, you know, big secrets or talking about my family or anything. He said, no, it's to get people to write back.
This is not going where I thought it would. I'm surprised. I thought we were going to be, you know, find your top converting posts or your most shared articles and just create a semi-standard series of 3 emails over 2 weeks and just send your best. But actually, this is right. We're going down a different path, suggesting that the next response to someone who subscribes might be something inviting a dialogue.
Yeah, but you know, the keyword there is it might, you know, so the question that I threw out there when you said where do you get started was, you know, how can we engage this person? If that person is, and again, you know, shopping for, today I bought kitty litter liners. You know?
Okay, thanks for that info.
I don't want to have a conversation with that company about, you know, my favorite coffee and tea, or I don't want to write back to them, period, you know. I want to, you know what a related products are, or, you know, if I can get a coupon the next time around and so forth. So, you know, it kind of depends. So, yeah, I think, you know, we aren't just talking about the first email somebody gets from you after joining your email list. While that probably is the most important email, mm-hmm. email welcome series should be a sequence. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how long it should be, but it should probably be 3. You know, I think that's what you do. It could be 10.
Yeah.
You know, it probably shouldn't be 50. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe in between numbers 10 and 50, it could be opt in, opt out, you know, describe yourself better. But when I did it and I did it effectively, it definitely was about content. You know, that's why you opted in. And I answered questions like, you know, what are my most popular posts? What could you expect to get from me in future mm-hmm. emails? Mm-hmm. Why you might want to hire me, you mm-hmm. know, and some, you know, questions that, you know, trying to kind of play the Chris Brogan game or the thing I talked about with Brian, some questions like, you know, where are your pain points in digital marketing? You know, trying to create a dialogue. So there's mm-hmm. no one way to go, and there's lots of ways to go.
Yeah, I think if there's a classic, let me sketch it out. And I know lots of people that do these, but I can't say that I've like set up tons of these programs before. If there's a classic welcome series email, it would be when the person subscribes, they immediately get a response back thanking them for joining. maybe asking them a question, offering them more content, and setting an expectation about what else will be coming. A few days or maybe a week later, there's another email that includes a link that's short, concise, personal tone, but also contains a link to deeper content, and that you might pull from analytics or BuzzSumo as being one of the top shared or top converting posts or something like that. And then maybe after another week or two, there'd be a third email that goes deeper, maybe offering to have the person take another action, follow us somewhere else, or download this the thing, or find me on LinkedIn. Always a personal tone, always concise, basically offering more content, or each email is an invitation to come back to the website. And then sometimes people go deeper with that. It could be a fourth and fifth and sixth email. They go to seven. People write like relatively long sequences, and they're sent out over intervals, usually around a week at a time, going out sometimes over a month or two, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think, the longer it goes on and you have to experiment with this, probably the more you're leaning towards a sales message. That's why you do email marketing, but, there is some risk with the sales message being your last message, right? Because they didn't want to be sold to and they opted out. Yeah, but, you do that with a soft touch. I think if they're reading your 11th or, 15th email or what have you, they enjoy your email and it's not out of bounds. You might start thinking about your funnel at that point. You certainly, if you're answering the question, how can we be most engaging? How can we be most helpful? Well, the answer is probably going to be your content if you're a content marketer, and that content is, then you got to start experimenting with it. Is it a webinar? Is it an ebook? Is it your podcast? I have this. Oh, go ahead.
No, I think that's interesting. This is so there's a point though at which you may just send a pure sales email, sounds like, right?
Well, yeah, I think if what I do is, like I said, I think you're going to like this post, kind of something like that, like you did, and it wasn't so segmented that the post was specific to where they opted in. It was just like, it's one of my most popular posts, Then it was like, I think you're going to like this hub page I made that's like my 30 best articles about content marketing. So I just started like sort of introducing what I thought were the ace cards in the Feldman Creative deck of content marketing. Then I said, before it was over, I said, you want some help with your content marketing? That's what I do.
Yeah, that's good. Now, in case anyone's wondering, I think that the mechanism that we use is native to MailChimp, and that it's a pretty standard feature, and that the setup process is really nothing very complex, and that it's not very difficult to track because this all gets its own campaign name, which is one of the UTM tracking parameters, so that your welcome email messages, all, even though they're not timed with like that spiky campaign report where every new big newsletter is a big drop and you get a certain number of visits from that thing, these are going to be meted out right across over time. And this is all in addition to whatever the list that they're now on, which might at whatever frequency you're sending.
Yeah. They should be. I mean, MailChimp knows how to simplify it, and obviously they dominate that business and they know what they're doing. So I would endorse that advice that your first one is as uncomplicated as can be so that you don't confuse yourself and scare yourself. There's no end in sight to where you can go with segmentation and personalization. And in marketing automation, of course, there's you draw flow charts and you say, if this, then that, right? So an email, that would be if they opened it, if they clicked through, if they didn't, if they ignored three in a row, if they read three in a row, so that's endless. But rather than torture yourself with all that marketing automation, if you're new to a welcome series, simply write one, and apply it to as many people on your list and, start engaging. It's like I said, it's better than having people walk into your store and pretending they don't exist.
Yeah, I think this is one of those set it and forget it things that a marketer can do probably in a half a day, maybe, right? This isn't a major time investment. And that once it's in place, that you'll want to go refresh it once in a while because the links that you were promoting through that series maybe aren't your favorite things anymore or aren't the best that you've got to offer. So, but this is really one of those nice things in marketing that unlike a lot of social activity or a lot of email marketing activity, you can just put it in place, and now you've got that program covered. And
Yeah, you make a great point. It's automatic. This post has a list from I borrowed it from Vertical Measures.
Mm-hmm.
Vertical Response, not Vertical Measures.
Okay.
Not that I don't love Vertical Measures, but Vertical Response: 7 reasons you need a welcome series, and one of them is it's. Saves time. It's easy. The work is done in advance once, and everything else is handled automatically. So like you said, yeah, you know, the offer didn't work. The content got updated or eliminated or changed. And so there's reasons to go back and tinker with it. But it is a great, you know, return on investment of your time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one, this kind of thing makes sense to me. I like things in marketing that are sort of setup things or one-time things. It feels more like an investment, like you take an action and you get a more durable benefit from it.
Yeah. And this the software people, they keep making that sweeter and sweeter with the automation options. So yeah, I think if we won't have time to go through everything I wrote in the post on Orbit Media, but we encourage people to do that are listening. Go to the page that you found on Orbit or Feldman Creative and find your way to this post, because if you're looking for ideas to do this and you don't want your 1, 2, 3 or 1 through 7 to be exactly as we've outlined, there's a long list of ideas about things that you might try. Right. Mm-hmm. Like for instance, mm-hmm. 5, offer exclusives. That's a really cool idea. Mm-hmm. You're on my email list. I'm going to offer you something that I only offer to people on my email list.
Ah, I like that. Insider.
Yeah. And hopefully that's true. But even if there's like a slight degree of truth to it, like it was customized for your email list. I think I just gave away my cheese for today. Oops. here's another one. Here's Welcome Email Series 101. You know how you have your 3 P's, and I guess we all like our sort of shortcuts. I came up with the AAA. The AAA of the Welcome Email Series: acknowledgement, affirmation, and appreciation. Uh-huh. So somewhere in this first email, and probably all of these emails, you're going to say, "I acknowledge you." You responded to this. This page, this download, this webinar, whatever. And then you're going to affirm them. You're going to say, "You're on my email list now." And then you're going to appreciate it, like a thank you page. You're going to say, thank you. Here's what you can expect, or here's something that I don't offer to just everybody.
Yeah. I bet there are this is kind of a creative opportunity for creativity as far as marketing tactics go. And I can picture so many things that people might be doing here. Things with visuals, or things with different kinds of offers, or things with different frequency, or ways to engage people maybe over much longer time frames, or fast things to do immediately, right? Like thank you page stuff, like you've got like a video for your new subscribers. I would love to get some feedback or comments or social posts or mentions, or anyone that wants to just let us know what they're doing with their welcome series emails, because I've got a feeling that we've got some listeners who've tried some fun stuff with this.
Yeah, I would think you're right. That would be a cool conversation. As we're talking about it, we're falling into the trap that we often do, that we're kind of soft sellers with content marketers. We want you to be subscribers and readers and, part of our tribe and stuff. But, not everybody wants that. I do the majority of what I do for SaaS companies. And so I'm thinking about how they go about things. And perhaps one of the most important and most common tactics for a welcome series is addressing people that are sitting on the fence. They did the freemium thing. They did the limited edition thing. They did the limited time thing. They went to a page where a credit card was required, but they didn't hand it over. Those welcome series would say, how can we help you get started? Would you like to watch a video? Would you like to read our tips? Would you like to come to our forum? Would you like to join our Facebook, private page and so forth? So it all really gets reverse engineered from, what you're trying to accomplish and why they opted in the first place. Why they opted in the first place is an abandoned software trial, thing somewhere in the funnel they bailed. You got the reverse engineering suggests, how can we help them? And you're also thinking at the same time, and if we can't help them, then they don't really want to be on this email list.
Yep, and that's fine too. The key to email is not send email to people that don't want email. We're almost ready to move on here in a minute, if you've got last words. But before that, I want to mention that I'm looking at the stats for our Welcome Series email. It looks like it's a 3-series email. Immediate, 3 days later and 8 days later. The immediate email has an open rate of 50%. The 3 days later has an open rate of 40% and an almost 20% click-through rate. And the 8 days later is still very high, 36% open rate. Consider B2B emails, you know, 20% would be pretty good. And a 16% click-through rate. So these are, I'm looking at numbers that are roughly double what you'd expect in a super generic broad brushstroke B2B email benchmark. Pretty good. Those numbers look pretty good.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Those are amazing numbers. Double at least. I don't know. You know, my emails, generally I have new content, you know, kind of like yours. And I get pretty excited if I have a 20% open rate, click-throughs mm-hmm. in the 2 to 5% range. You know, it's hard and getting harder. You know, email's such a, you know,
Noisy, flooded. Yeah. It's tough. So, and we don't say this enough, but in the end, everything hinges on the quality of that piece that you sent, right? The world is not waiting for another medium quality blog post.
They're looking for, they're looking for what they're looking for. So I think, you know, there's clues that they leave when they come to your website. And, you can, like I said, you can come up with every if-then scenario that you want to. If you revealed that data to me about your first 3 emails, which I think in your case is, you know, the only 3, mm-hmm. My conclusion might be, that's not enough email, you know, that it's going so well, keep sending more email.
You're right.
You know, but you are, you know, it's not as related to the day you opted in.
Yeah. They're just at the biweekly mode. We don't send that often. And, actually I think that's good advice for anybody in general. Test your comfort zone, push your threshold a little bit, get uncomfortable with your frequency because, the more you send, the more traffic you get. That as a general rule. So send quality, but we should all be a little bit outside what we're totally comfortable with. Marketing is partly about experimentation, and not enough marketers are testing, weekend sends or doubling their frequency. I mean, just keep quality up, but then get out there. Keep activity levels very high as you can maintain.
Yeah, be prepared to fail with email. You know, I suppose that sounds a little scary if your email list is, you know, 25 or 100 people or something like that. But you want people on your list that, gain value from opening your email. And if you're looking at open rates of, you know, 50, 40, 35, you're doing something right. You can push yourself a little bit, but if that number dips way down, perhaps the size of your email list isn't as important as the quality of your email mm-hmm. list. I think that's probably pretty common knowledge now.
Okay, anything else before we do before we catch some mice?
I think we've done good.
Okay.
Yeah. So for cheese, when we get into the Feldman Creative segment about cheese, we're talking about content, and I sort of tipped this card already, but while we're on the topic of a Welcome Series email, I think my tip that I've mentioned ever so slightly already is that it's a good idea to create content that is explicitly for email subscribers that are new. Mm. And so that could relate again to, a webinar that demonstrates how to use something, a case study that demonstrates, how you solved a problem, a comparison that shows, there's 5 leaders in this field and we're one of them and here's how we compare. You know, there's just a lot of ways to go about that. And then on a e-commerce or retail realm or element, if you're talking about, what's to come there that's special, it would be an offer, And sure. So, like I said, we learn that you like cats or you like dogs. Here's a program we offer that we only offer to, for emails subscribers for a limited time, or we only offer for first time buyers or what have you. So make a part of, your welcome email series and B, your content marketing thinking an overlap of the two? How can I offer content that is exclusively offered to new subscribers?
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah, that's and that exclusive idea, that's just great. Great, so that's the cheese tip, the content and traffic tip. I've got a conversion tip, as in the mousetrap piece in this mousetrap part of the program. I want to dedicate my last few minutes here to an email signup form on Chris Ducker's website. Chris is an expert in outsourcing and working with virtual assistants, and he wrote Virtual Freedom. It's a great book. ChrisDucker.com at the top of the page has a masterpiece of email subscribes. I'll jump into it here for just a second. First of all, at the top of the visual hierarchy, in other words, the most thing, prominent thing at the top of his page is him. It's a face, and you can't miss that. It's super personal, very powerful. He's also looking to the right. And by the way, our eyes move left to right as readers of the English language anyway, so he's kind of gravity plus his face is driving us that direction toward the headline. The headline gives you an offer. He's got another P there. That's a promise and a present. And now when we go farther down the page, right, he's got differentiation and what you get and how-to stuff, little checklist. And then below that, there is the sign-up with the contrasting color on the call to action, which is get instant access. So put in your name, email, and then get instant access. That is reassuring the visitor that they're going to get something quickly. So it's just kind of a minor masterpiece of conversion. The visuals, the offer, the color, the hierarchy, the massive prominence, it's intense, right? This thing is big at the top of the page. So I just think that it's a combination of many things. Conversion is not a simple science. But use faces. Be specific about the benefit. Go big on visual prominence. Use contrasting color to guide attention to that thing that you want them to do. And it all combines to maximize the percentage of the visitors who subscribe. And now they're getting your welcome series.
Ducker, Ducker, Ducker. Yeah, he's done everything right. I think that what jumps off the page for me while you made the list, you know, completely, he just aced it. He did it awesome, is the iPath thing. And you've probably seen, I think, Kissmetrics. No, Crazy Egg does this, where they show the baby's looking at you or the baby's looking at the headline. You know, same baby, same photo shoot. The baby looking at the headline works better to get people to read the headline. And that's what Chris has done.
You look where they look. We are empathetic humans, and we can't resist. If they see a picture of someone looking in a direction or if everyone on the street corner is looking up, you're going to look up. And that's a marketing tactic and something that magazine and photo editors have known for years. And it's something that anyone can do whenever they choose to use a face in their marketing. Have that person looking never off the page, but toward the offer, back toward the page, toward the content. It's a literally line of sight. Draw that invisible arrow.
All right, Content Matters listeners, hear ye, do not miss this preview and our next episode. You would be out of your ever-loving mind because we're going to talk about common SEO mistakes. We're going to talk about it with one of the world's best analytics users and SEO advisors. His name's Andy. He has an A student, or at least I'm forever trying to be an A student, which is me. And so...
pretty good.
Yeah, we don't talk about SEO as much as we should. Maybe we take it for granted, but you know, people go on into overflow rooms to hear you talk about it when you travel the country. And so we're simply going to talk about the common mistakes people make with SEO, and you know that shouldn't be hard, right?
Yeah, I feel like we should almost apologize for not doing this one earlier.
Yep, there we go.
Very good. Looking forward to the next one.
All right, thanks.